Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, Text Number 40. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them and died without having discharged life's real mission. Purport. The real mission of life for the conditioned soul is to reestablish the forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service so that he may revive Krishna consciousness after giving up the body. One doesn't have to give up his occupation as the Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or whatever. In whatever position, while discharging his prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness. Simply by associating with devotees who are representatives of Krishna and who can teach this science. Regretfully, the big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and are not interested in spiritual advancement. Material advancement may be very pleasing to an ordinary man, but ultimately he is defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything related to it to be his property. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him, not even the body. By one's karma, one gets a particular body, and if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his activities are frustrated. The real purpose of life is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.13, Atak Pumbira Dvija Shesta Vanashrama Vibhagashaha Svanusti Tasya Dharmasya Samsidir Haritoshanam. It really doesn't matter what activity man engages in. If he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful. Translation again. There are many great saintly kings who are very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskatyade Satarane. So there are different levels of philosophy. One is called Sambandha, the other is Abhideya, and the last is called Prayojana. Sambandha means we should try to understand what is the basic philosophy. What is the foundational philosophy? Just like our foundational philosophy is that we're spiritual beings. Now, within a material body. And that there's a supreme spiritual being and his original name is Krishna. And we have an eternal relationship with him. And that relationship can be revived by the process of devotional service. So that's called Sambandha. And then we have Abhideya, the process by which we can revive our relationship with Krishna, called devotional service, is as follows. Chant Hare Krishna, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, worship the deities, associate with the devotees, live in a holy place. So that's called Abhideya, the process by which we can realize the philosophy. And then when we realize the philosophy, that's called Prayojana, or what the goal is. What is the goal of Krishna consciousness? What is the prayojana? Yes. Krishna prema puman. That the ultimate goal is to attain prema. So we're Krishna's servants, Krishna's God, we execute devotional service, and we're trying to attain prema. Love for Krishna. Those who don't have that mission, those who are not even aware there's such a thing as a mission to obtain love of God, obviously they're not going to get very close to obtaining love of God. Instead, they're going to go off in some other path. Andaya tandera upagiyamanas tepisha tantra urudami vara. The Bhagavatam says that they're blind. Now, the Bhagavatam is quite heavy. It says all kinds of things that people will become very disturbed if they hear. So why does it say these people are blind? Does it mean that they need a walking stick? A lot of them have better vision than we have. So how can we say they're blind? They're blind because they don't understand this they don't understand the sambandha. They don't understand the difference between matter and spirit and the controller of both, and therefore they're blind. And because they're blind, whatever they're where they're going will not bring them to the actual goal, it'll bring them someplace else. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pravritim cha, navritim cha, adharmam dharma iti ya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitams cha, adharmam dharma iti ya, manyate tamasavritaha, sarvatam viparitams cha, buddhisaparta tamasi. They think what you're supposed to do. They say you're not supposed to do that. And what you're not supposed to do, they see that's what you're supposed to do. And therefore, they're always driving in the wrong direction. As Prabhupada put out a little booklet originally, Who's Crazy? Because people, at least previously, I'm sure there's many people in Slovenia right now, they think the Hare Krishnas are crazy. After all, what kind of sane person would go on the street and sing? Only if they were intoxicated. Or they're crazy. And since they claim they don't take drugs, they must be crazy. What other classes of people do we find going out in the street and singing all day? Of course, here is one devotee, Kulavekar Sridhar. He was constantly chanting Hare Krishna, and his neighbors thought, because at night he would be chanting very loudly, and he'd wake up his neighbors, who are all worshippers of Durga. Kulavekar Sridhar was a worshipper of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. So, he chanted loudly at night, but he was very, very poor. He was living in a hut. There wasn't any, he couldn't even afford to even repair the roof of the hut. Therefore, when it rained in. He was only selling bananas in Bengal. He had a small banana tree and he'd sell bananas and banana leaves, banana flour, banana bark. Not a big multinational business in Bengal. He was only making a few paisa a day, and he was giving half of that to worship with the Ganges. Therefore, he was so poor but his neighbors were worshiping Durga, and they had a lot of opulence. So they determined that actually, Kulavekar Sridhar, at night, he's screaming out of hunger pains. Because he doesn't get enough to eat during the day. At night he can't sleep and he screams out of hunger. They thought his chanting Hare Krishna was screaming out of hunger pains. So they could not understand that there could be another level of consciousness outside of material happiness. And if someone didn't have material happiness, they must be suffering. in some way or another. So this is called viparitam. What they think is actually reality, as Krishna says, yani sha sarabhutanam tasyam jagati samyami yasyam janami bhutani sagra sam sag sami she job jagato. Actually, I forgot now. That what is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And the time of awakening for the self-control is the night for all the sentient beings. Or as Prabhupada one time, he was in New York, and he was having an interview with one reporter. And all the devotees, whatever Prabhupada said, the devotees were very enthusiastic, and they were going, Jai Prabhupada, all the time. So the reporter was wondering, why are these people so enthusiastic? And they're dressed so differently. So he asked Prabhupada, he said, why are your followers so different? And Prabhupada said, they have to be different because they're spiritual and you're material. If we were exactly like you, then we'd be material. So there has to be some kind of difference. Similarly, people, they cannot understand that the purpose of life is to obtain Krishna. Therefore, they think there's some other purpose. If we don't have the mission to obtain Krishna, we have to have some purpose. Everyone lives for a purpose. In the spiritual world, everyone lives to satisfy Krishna. So that may seem rather strange, but then again, we're spiritual beings in a body, and we're living to satisfy a dead body. So wouldn't it be better to satisfy a living person rather than a dead body? Therefore, if we understand the basic philosophy that we're not the body, then what are we doing serving a dead body for? It's rather gruesome, isn't it? If you fell in love with a corpse, what would people think about you? He fell in love with the corpse, and day and night he's serving it, trying to get it to eat, always making its bed so it can sleep nicely, chanting songs to the corpse, taking pictures of it, posting them on Facebook. So this body is a dead body. It's a corpse. Of course, generally people wait till finally the soul leaves, and then they become more aware of the fact that it's a corpse, and then they cry over it. Oh, it's dead. But it was always dead. It's not that when we leave the body, it dies. It's already dead. Sorry. Don't cry. Wait a second. Don't cry. Oh, my body's dead. Tell my mother my body's dead. It was always dead. Only because you were present in it, it appears to be alive. The car is dead, sorry to tell you. Your car is not alive. Nor is your teddy bear alive. Oh, this is a really hard one. We're really hitting it deep into people's hearts. Your teddy bear is not alive. It's only because you move it, it appears to be alive. The puppet appears to be alive because there's a hand inside of it moving it. So this body appears to be alive only because we're present within it. Otherwise, it's dead. But if we serve a dead body, we could try to decorate it very nicely. But decorating a dead body is considered a waste of time, as it says here. In India, when you die, they actually take special care of you sometimes. They decorate you so that when they take you on the palanquin to burn your body, you go in style. And in the West, they even do it better. They put you in a nice new set of clothes and they paint a smile on you. And in some places in America, you can buy, before you leave your body, of course, you have to do it before you leave, you can buy a place in a cemetery where into the coffin they pipe music. And you can choose between any kind of music that you can hear perpetually, rock music. After all, you're going to be sitting there for a long time, you might as well listen to something. Otherwise, you get really bored sitting there not doing anything. So they pipe rock music or country western music into your coffin, and you can listen to it peacefully. No one's going to disturb you. Of course, I don't know if they have an option. Maybe if they had an option, listen to Prabhupada's lectures. That would be quite a good option. Even if you hung around as a ghost, at least you get some spiritual benefit. That's something good to listen to. But people are decorating these bodies, and they're thinking they're making progress. During the lifetime, one of the biggest industries is the cosmetic industry. If you go into a department store, there is huge amounts of lipstick, and I don't know what else they have. They have all kinds of eyeliner, whatever else they have. And people are spending a fortune to make something that's dead appear alive. And when it gets older, then when the body begins to deteriorate, they become even more anxious. Then they have operations to lift the skin or whatever else, so you can look like you're younger. And then even after you're dead, they try to decorate you. So it's just a waste of time. But people don't know that because they don't know that they're spiritual souls, that they have a better engagement. Instead of serving the dead body, they can serve Krishna. And if they serve Krishna, they'll get, in reciprocation, bliss, knowledge, and eternity. Not a bad reciprocation. We just chant Hare Krishna lovingly, and Krishna, he reciprocates by giving us bliss and awareness, pure happiness, pure awareness forever. An intelligent human being, he makes a decision that let me get bliss, knowledge, and eternity by my little endeavor, by sacrificing the little energy I have in Krishna's service. That's certainly a great reward. Otherwise, if I serve my false ego, which is the basic principle from avidya, because we're in avidya, therefore the first principle is serve my false ego. I am this body, and when people like my body, I feel good. When they dislike my body, I feel bad. When my body is happy, I feel good. When my body is not so happy, I feel bad. It's all centered around the false ego that I am the body. But the real ego, I am Krishna's servant. Whatever the state of the body is, it doesn't really matter. Let me just utilize it in Krishna's service so that even at the time of leaving the body, I'll simply chant Hare Krishna. I may not be able to do anything else, but if I chant Hare Krishna, then the sacrifice is perfect. So one has to be trained up like that to try to work while we are in this body, in this human form of life, try to work and cultivate real sambandha, real understanding, real abhideya, real activities in devotional service, and see if we're actually getting the prayojana. If we're developing awareness of Krishna, we're beginning to see everyone and everything as they're actually related to Krishna. If we're developing an awareness of how things that draw our mind from Krishna are not very favorable. And if we're actually feeling some growing love for Krishna, some appreciation of Krishna, how nice he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, some appreciation of Krishna. So that's called love. And as it says here, you may become a great, powerful personality in this world, a great king, because there are not so many kings, but there are some kings. So most people are trying to just accumulate money, and with that money, buy a big house, and that way become a king. Have the best of all material things, and that way, I think that one is progressing in material existence. But so many actually powerful kings ruling the whole world came and they've gone, but if they didn't develop love for Krishna, they just wasted their time. For all their endeavor, they were simply creating another material body, which was not necessarily very favorable, especially towards the development of Krishna consciousness. So one could be the most insignificant person One could be the little squirrel in the pastime of Lord Ramachandra and try to kick a few pebbles onto the bridge. And Lord Ramachandra will appreciate that service as much as he appreciated Hanuman's service. So we may not be Hanuman. We may not even be a squirrel. Whatever we are, we should try to do whatever service we can for the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that way Krishna will appreciate it and will actually obtain the perfection of life. We'll be working as a soul rather than on the dictation as a false ego. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Krishna consciousness is very important, and most of people are foolish, cannot understand.
Yes.
What is the trigger that can involve Krishna consciousness?
Well, when people get a higher taste, that's why they become attracted to anything. So we chant very nicely, we give very nice prasadam, we learn how to distribute these books in a very nice way, we can attract people's minds and they'll take it up. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.